Hey, welcome back to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast. I am Zach, and I'm chilling here with Randy. What's up, Randy?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm sitting here with my Coke Zero Cherry Vanilla. There's so many flavors going on in there that I think my head might explode.
That's pretty good. I think they have to pay us money now for saying that, right?
Hey,
that's how that works.
Cool. Yeah. Let them know.
So, Randy, what are we talking about today?
You know, I thought it would be interesting if we would start talking a little bit about worldviews, because I've just come to believe that we are in the middle of a worldview shift. Ooh, in America.
Absolutely.
We are changing from a former way of just looking at reality to a new way of looking at reality. And the missiological term that we would use is worldview.
Right, right. Do you think it's fair to say that, like, when this shift happens, not everybody shifts with it?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. In fact, this shift appears to be more generational in nature. I don't know exactly why. I suspect that school system has a lot to do with it, but I don't think that's the only influence. I think media and maybe a little bit the move away from television into more social media, TikTok and whatever else is out there.
Sure, sure. So what worldviews are we talking about here?
Well, the way that I grew up kind of looking at the world, I believe today is referred to as the modern worldview. The worldview that we are in the process of shifting to would be the postmodern. Now, there's also a pre-modern worldview, and then kind of over us, just because of who we are and what we believe, there's also a biblical worldview. And those things are not necessarily the same thing. They don't express the same thing. There are differences there.
Which is weird, because they're all grounded in the same reality. It's just different
how
ways
they
of
view that reality.
Yeah, kind of expressing it even.
So I have a friend. I have a good friend. His name is David Dick. Good shout out to Dave. He was my boss for the majority of time that I was at OMS. Working as a missionary, and he would describe worldviews in terms of values, assumptions, and presuppositions.
Okay.
So the values that an individual holds, what he believes is important, the assumptions that they make about the world, and that touches more directly to their view and their perspective of reality, and then presuppositions, what they believe is true, and what forms the rest of their thought system then.
And so today, I think we're just going to focus on assumptions, though, right?
Yeah, values, assumption, and presuppositions. You know, that's a big, that's a lot. Even assumptions, I'm not sure we're going to get through everything that we have here.
Okay.
And, you know, we put together a list of just kind of common assumptions, just to help people kind of get used to thinking about worldview in this sense. This is not an exhaustive list. It is definitely not an authoritative list.
It's a survey. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of a survey. And ultimately, it's what we think we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, because that's just it. I mean, like when somebody from like the secular world would talk about Christians, they're going to strawman a little bit. And we're probably going to strawman a little bit here. We're not trying to, but it's going to happen unintentionally.
It's going to happen unintentionally.
But we are going to try and talk about it to the best of our ability, the best of our knowledge.
Right.
And so we'll kind of comment on what we agree with, what we disagree with, kind of as we go. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, we've talked about reality already. Reality... to a modern mind, and that would be by that I don't mean a mind of 2021. I mean someone with a modern worldview, and I would put myself in that category. Reality is objective. It can be observed. You can go back to it tomorrow, and if you see the same thing, if you look at the same reality, you will see it in the same way. Reality is objective. It exists, and it's logical. It's independent of me.
Yeah. And so, are you saying this for a pre-modern? Or you're just saying this
modern,
in general. This is
a modern.
Modern
viewpoint. So
kind
pre-modern,
of
pre-modern would look at reality, and they would say there's something else there. This is an image. This is a shadow of true reality. True reality is otherworldly. It's heaven, in their words. And what we have here is kind of a reflection of heaven.
Got you. And so, I just want to make sure I'm clear. What era? Where are we currently at in the world?
I would say that we are shifting from a modern mindset to a postmodern.
So we're kind of in that in between realm between modern and postmodern, right?
And when we talk about the world, of course, there is no one individual that represents the whole world.
Right.
Instead, what we have are groupings of people. So there are a large number of people, probably at this point, I think, still the majority, that would hold a modern worldview. They would assume that reality is objective to us.
Gotcha.
But there is a shift toward postmodern thought, which would say that reality is just a construct. It's just
right.
One perspective when we look at something. Tomorrow, I may look at the same thing and have a completely different perspective.
Right. So let's kind of break those three ideas down.
Okay.
So let's start with pre-modern. You said pre-modern. That's more like a religious worldview.
Yeah.
I'm not talking Christian. I'm just talking
religious. Good distinction. Yeah. That's a religious worldview, or at least a worldview that would have predominated prior to the advent of scientific discovery and sort of where we are today.
So like through the Middle Ages?
Middle Ages, even, you know, as late as the 1800s, all the way through there, you begin to get scientific discovery and development and codification of certain ways of looking at thing that takes place in the late 19th century, the late 1800s. All through the 1900s, you get Einstein in the 1920s and 30s, and you know, things just kind of explode then. And prior to the modern worldview, I think people by and large believed that heaven was real to an extent we are not real, or at most, we're just saving up for heaven.
Kind of like a Gnostic view?
Yeah, I wouldn't say Gnostic.
Because Gnostic is more like we're like a fleshy prison for the soul, right?
Yeah, I think there is some of that there.
Okay.
You know, we're never truly free until we're free of the body.
Kind of like the whole rest in peace concept.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Then that's real. That is reality.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, yeah. I mean, well, I understand.
Understanding it. Yeah. So a lot of that reality was tied up with the church, and the church actually determined what much of that reality, at least the worldview, the way you would perceive reality was determined by the church.
Okay, yeah. And so, I mean, I'm going to ask questions. Like, you think that started with the Catholic Church? Like through the Middle Ages?
When it really started, there was no such thing as the Catholic Church. There was the church. And that's all
right.
There was.
Well, I mean, Catholic right. is all encompassing.
Right. Universal church. Yeah.
But yeah. Christianity, though.
And I think it did start there. Now, the Catholic Church, the church was responsible for much of the scientific discovery that we have today, in the sense that they looked at reality and said, hey, that's objective. We need to examine that. In their view, we need to examine that reality because it teaches us about God.
So, sorry, can I take us back a step even further?
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, like, hasn't the pre-modern worldview, hasn't that just kind of always been the worldview until very recently? I mean, like, if you look back at, like, ancient cultures, it's really how they looked at the world too, right? Like the Jews?
I think there's a difference. I think ancient worldviews would have equated the supernatural with the natural. They saw gods and spirits breaking through into the natural all the time.
So the pre-modern worldview is not doing that then?
It's saying it exists, it's out there, and what we have here kind of leads to that.
Okay.
God can break through, but we don't understand reality in terms of spirits running around.
Okay. Yeah. So really,
the ancient mindset did.
We just keep getting less and less spiritual.
Kind of.
I mean, that's really the path, it seems. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And not spiritual in the sense of a follower of Jesus, but spiritual in the sense of tied up with a spirit world.
Right. That there
that
is
dominates
a supernatural.
And manages. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The idea, the ancients, I think, would say the demonic, otherworldly spirits, to an extent, determine what we do in this life.
Right.
I think the pre-modern worldview might say, well, they can influence us, but...
But we're still kind of the masters of our own destiny
in
a way. Okay.
Yeah,
I understand.
We still have to be following and obeying. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And so moving on to like kind of diving in on the modern worldview.
Right.
That's the idea that there is a divide between the two things, right?
A divide, and I would say a further expression of the modern worldview.
Like we lean on science.
Anything otherworldly is irrelevant.
It's all explainable. Like
it can be.
Or like, but I mean, that's kind of the view of science,
yeah,
right? That
yeah.
like through science we can explain anything,
right?
With enough time.
And if it's not explainable, it's not important,
right?
Science deals with what can be repeated,
right? So we're really, I mean, that's kind of where we've been in the Western Hemisphere for a long time,
right?
And the church actually, like, that's kind of like the split between the Eastern and Western Church back in the Middle Ages. The Western Church started kind of becoming more and more scientific, more and more like philosophical,
and the Eastern Church
stayed more
meditative.
Mystic. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So there's a shift that kind of, like you said, it's groups of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. So the postmodern point of view looks at reality and says there is nothing that is external to me. If I am observing something, then I am influencing that something. I can't see reality without bringing myself to the picture. So it's not objective.
Okay.
Reality becomes subjective at that point.
And this is the postmodern?
It's the postmodern.
The postmodern.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that when you say that, that just reminds me so much of like – I mean, that's the New Age worldview.
Yeah.
That everything is subjective.
Right.
Like, for instance, like, something to be said. When I say New Age, nobody in the New Age movement would ever say they were in the New Age movement. They would say they were spiritual or they, you know,
right.
something like that.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is there are groups of people out there that believe that nothing is right and nothing is wrong. Everything is just what you're experiencing.
We'll get down to that. Yeah, that's kind of the last point that I wanted to get here today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So what do you think the biblical assumption about these things? What is the biblical assumptions in the biblical worldview of reality?
Of reality. Ah, okay. I think there is a finite here and now taking place, that it was made by God, that God gave order and he gave he gave a way of order to things, right? And so we're living in that ordered world in this like time and space in a physical reality, and it's governed by laws placed by God, right? And I believe God exists outside of that, but that he can also insert himself into it if he wishes. And I think that there is a supernatural realm, the heavenly realm, that is existing both outside of it. But I think there are moments in time, or I guess always even, like that there are spiritual beings kind of interacting with our lives, but not in a way that we can see.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. So reality is objective, but it's not everything that there is. There is another reality, a super reality.
So that's really hard for me to like comprehend, because like when you say reality, I just lump sum all of that.
Everything.
I see the natural and the supernatural together.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the biblical worldview, that it's these two things together that are happening, but they're also separate.
In the ancient worldview, there was kind of a dotted line between natural and supernatural. So gods could come down and walk with people. And people also, in making a sacrifice, can go into God's area and actually influence God.
I think that's more accurate than anything we believe now.
It's closer. I think the biblical worldview recognizes those two realities, a natural world and a supernatural world, but there's a hard line between them. We don't get to cross that hard line, but God can.
Right.
And when he does, in the Old Testament, that is called holy. That's a holy place, or the holy of holies, because God lives there all the time. And man can come into his presence once a year if he's invited.
Right.
He doesn't get to just say, hey, I'm going to go hang out with you tonight.
Yeah. So it was a very limited exchange. Like it's this
from man's point of view.
Point of view, it's kind of like a fish. Like people can go swimming in water.
Yeah,
fish can't go on land.
Right,
that's not an option.
Right, right? They don't last long if they do.
Exactly. But that's kind of like us. Like we're kind of more like the fish, I guess. Like you know, God can come down into our area and he can hang out here as long as he wants, but we can't.
Right.
Go out there at all, or,
right.
or just for a very limited time.
Right.
But yeah.
Next point?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the next point has to do with the reality of true and false. In the modern worldview, because reality is objective, because it's outside of us and we can see it, and if we see that reality tomorrow, it looks the same way, and day after that and the day after that, it won't change. It'll always I light a match and hold my hand over it, it burns. It's going to burn tomorrow. It's going to burn the next day. There is then an objective truth and there is an objective false.
Okay.
Those are just realities that exist.
Okay.
So something can be true or something can be false.
Right.
Now, the pre-modern worldview would say truth is what the church tells us truth is. So if what the church says contradicts what it looks like we're observing, then we're obviously observing something inappropriately, improperly.
Okay.
Because what the church says is true.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of an example, and I'm not coming up with one necessarily.
What about the – it's like back with the witch trials when they determined that if a woman was a witch, she would – she would float. Mm-hmm. And so the way they would determine whether or not somebody was a witch is they would go out and tie a rock around her or whatever and throw her in some water. And when she inevitably drowned, they'd be like, oh, good, she wasn't a witch.
Right.
But you're
if
just
she
killing
floated,
people.
They kill her.
Right. And so, like, obviously, nobody's going to float. Just, it's kind of like that. Is that fair?
I think so.
I was just watching Monty Python the other day, so that one kind of came to mind. Sorry.
Okay. Good historical. In the postmodern mindset, truth is relative, completely relative.
In the postmodern.
Yeah.
So wait, so are we doing modern last then? I think we skipped over that one, didn't we?
Well, modern is just kind of there is an objective true and false.
Okay, that's the idea of the line.
Pre-modern is... what the church tells me is true, that's true.
Gotcha.
And even if it contradicts what I observe.
And then postmodern is everything subjective.
Everything is subjective, yeah.
Which makes no logical sense.
But do you see things moving that way? I mean, am I barking up the wrong tree?
No, you're 100%. I've argued with people over this. Like in the barbershop, I had a probably 45-minute discussion with a guy trying to tell me that everything is subjective. And I just kept trying to walk him back around to saying, like, okay, but, like, rape and murder, like, we can agree those things are wrong, right? Well, yeah, those things are wrong. So then it's not subjective. And he's like, well, no. And he just kind of sat there, and it was like I was just watching him, like, his head was sparking or something. Like, it was crazy. And it's like he wanted it to fit so bad that there was no right and no wrong, because when there's no absolute right or wrong – everything's fair game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
Now, you know, I don't know where all of this started, but I do remember reading about existentialism back in the 60s and 70s. Jean-Paul Sartre is a French philosopher, one of the early fathers of existentialism. And his take on existentialism was you just have to live authentically. So if you live authentically and get in your car and run over an old lady, as long as that is what you were trying to do, that's authentic.
And he believes
that's okay.
Okay, well, that's like, at least he was sticking to his guns, because I don't hear most people do that, you know? I mean, Hitler was pretty authentic.
Yeah. At least to his reality.
Right.
Now, I do believe you're right. It makes no logical sense. But I believe logic is something that a postmodern mind would not even consider.
That's insane. Because, like, the postmodern view doesn't – they don't discredit science. They believe science, but their worldview doesn't support it. It's very strange. It's like a paradox. Like,
it's like they're schizophrenic in a sense.
Kind of. It's like they just kind of want everything to be – a little kid.
They compartmentalize their life.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's like everything I say is right all the time, no matter what it is. Even if it's wrong, it's right.
I get a participation trophy.
It's you boomers' fault.
Yeah, it is.
Participation trophies.
We did that. We didn't want anybody to feel bad.
But I don't know. I think you're right. I definitely, because here's the thing. Me and Randy were talking about the postmodern world, and like that's the hard one. That's the hard one to nail down, because there's so many schools of thought within it, kind of. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
It's not just like one cohesive narrative on like this is what it is.
And that's what's kind of difficult about this, because there is no source that you can go to and say, what is postmodern thought?
Right.
Oh, well, it's this, 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 and this. No, no, it's not.
Right. Well, that's like – well, for instance, like it's kind of the same thing with pre-modern though. Like we said like what the church said goes, right?
Yeah,
but like if you're in the Middle East, it's not what the church says. It's what the teachers of Islamic law say. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's different everywhere. Like we're talking Western culture.
Everybody – well, everybody has a church that they go to.
Exactly.
And that church – determined what their perception of reality was.
Right. It was the people that kind of moderated between you and God.
Exactly.
They're the ones that called the shots.
Because they get to interpret God's voice for you.
Okay. So I said there's this general trend of us drifting further and further away from the spiritual, right, over time. Well, kind of. Because – actually, the like postmodern view would probably say they're very spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
But it's weird. Whatever. But then I think maybe a more accurate way of saying it is it was less and less – or sorry, it's becoming more and more in the person's control.
Yes. See, yes, very much so.
Because way back, ancient times, it's – you know, everything is like a result of what the gods are doing, right? And then the pre-modern view is, oh, well, you know, there's this guy between me and God and he tells me what's right, like a priest or a shaman or whatever you've got.
Right.
And then in the modern worldview, it's science. So now it's mankind has come to these conclusions on what is right. So it's the human race now, right?
Right.
But now in this postmodern view, it's
the
me.
Individual.
It's the individual and I decide my own reality.
Right.
Okay.
So what's the biblical worldview concerning the existence of right and wrong?
That God has laid out a law and he has made his law clear and he's actually written it on the hearts of his people.
And that is much closer actually to the pre-modern thought.
It kind of jumps around a little bit, doesn't it?
It does, it does, it does. I mean, that's the thing with all of this. You can't just say, well, the biblical follows the modern or postmodern, and not at all. It exists independently of all of these worldviews. The Bible in Christianity, following Jesus, has been countercultural in every age and every society that it's lived in.
Right.
It's been different. There is a higher rule to which we are subject.
Right. And so right and wrong has nothing to do with you.
No.
It has everything to do with God.
Yeah.
Biblically.
He gets to determine.
And he already has.
And
he's made it known.
Right.
And so it's kind of, it's not like he's laying out these things that you can't know how to live up to. He's provided you with the information necessary.
And amazingly, what he has done, by and large, biblical law is good for us as people, as communities. It's doing things that will benefit not us as an individual.
But everyone.
Over against everyone else.
Right.
But it benefits everyone, which includes me.
Right. And it just so happens that usually the way you come to that conclusion is by not living selfishly.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But we are inclined to do just the opposite.
Oh, yeah, that's the sinful nature in us.
Right.
I forget which one of the church fathers, somebody was asked, what is God's law? And he said, well, love God and do what you want. Because what he was saying was that if you truly love God, what you do will not result in your good over against everybody else.
Right.
But it will benefit everybody.
It's kind of like when Jesus says, you know, ask my Father anything in my name and he'll give it to you.
Yeah.
He's not talking about buying a Ferrari. He's saying, you know, if you're going to my Father and asking him for what's right.
In my name.
In my name. Yeah, if it's happening in my name, then it's going to be what's right. Because if you are asking for a Ferrari, that's not in my name. You know, like, yeah.
Doggone it.
Yeah.
Well.
So, truth. Is there anything else about biblical truth to cover there?
Well, I don't think so much about biblical truth. The problem is that is incredibly theoretical. we talk about truth and we can go to Scripture, see cases where God said, there's a people over there, I want you to go and kill them all.
Right.
And yet in other places he said, a man who kills another man will pay with his own life. So what's up with that? That's where you get into the interpretation of biblical truth and what it means, what it implies, what God was doing in that case. And there can be a lot of error in that. So the idea in our interpretation
right.
of what God is
right,
saying.
Right.
What we're saying is that there is an objective reality out there, which is truth. But our pursuit of and understanding of truth doesn't necessarily always match up with that objective reality. We might be over here, and that distance can be a long ways away.
Right, right. And I think that's why we need grace, though.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get it perfect.
And that's why we never stop studying.
Right, right.
That's why we always got to keep looking at Scripture and trying to apply it to whatever situation we find ourselves in.
I honestly, every time I study the Bible, I learn something new.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Even going back to passages that you've studied before.
A million times over.
Yeah.
So society, is that the next one?
Yeah, it's so if this is reality, then what happens to the world that we live in? What happens to our society? The modern mind actually believed that through the use of science and logic, they could create a better world, and that the world would gradually get better and better and better. Now,
that's close to accurate.
You can find that actual thought back in the 30s, 40s.
Babylon.
Yeah. Then World War II comes, and then the Korean War comes, and then the Vietnam War comes, and we start getting jaded about creating a better society. But the church believed this. The church believed that back about 130 years ago, the world would get better and better until finally Jesus just came because there wasn't that much difference between earth and heaven. There was a song. It's a missionary standard. And whenever I would go and speak in churches, you know, representing the mission or what Lynn and I were going to be doing in Colombia, they would almost always sing this song. The darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and God's great kingdom will come to earth, a kingdom of truth and light. Everything will just get better and better until Jesus finally comes.
Okay, so I do want to say, though, I think you can make some decent theological arguments for that being a possible truth. I'm not gonna set up camp and die on that hill. I don't know, but I'm totally open to it, because anybody that believes that I've listened to would point out that if you look at where the world is now, like as a whole, it is more Christian than it's ever been. There are more believers alive right now. Like,
that's
and
true.
So they're not saying like, oh yeah, look how much better it's getting, like by and large, like, but like big picture, it is a lot better. it doesn't maybe look that way to us because we're in a weird spot in Western culture right now.
It's something like 13% of the world right now is evangelical Christian, and that's way beyond anything that it ever has been before.
Right. And so, like, I'm not willing to dismiss that as a possibility, but I'm also not, like, ready to be like, oh, yeah, that's it. You know, like, I don't know. But, okay, that's interesting. And you said that's the modern world view?
That's the modern world view, yeah. Science is going to save us.
Okay.
The more we understand, the more we develop, the better it'll be. Pre-modern assumptions about society, I think, pretty much said this is what there is. We're not going to get better. We're not going to get worse.
It's just everything was kind of as it was.
Yeah.
And that's just,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Here's the king. The king represents God. We have to obey the king just like we obey God.
There wasn't a whole lot of looking forward.
No, not really.
But there weren't a lot of advancements either.
No.
So, like, that makes
sense.
And
that may be because people weren't looking forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Well, the postmodern worldview is a very cynical, jaded worldview. They would say what science has done is it has produced more effective ways to kill larger numbers of people than ever before.
They would say the same thing about religion.
Yeah.
Like organized religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tool to dominate, to oppress, and to destroy for the advancement of a small group of individuals.
But notice everything you're saying right now about it, the rejection of so much science is that science and religion both put limits on what people can believe because they express finite truths. Does that make sense? Like,
kinda.
Like if I buy into your
play
science,
that out. Yeah.
Okay. Like, if you tell me that, I'm trying to think of a way of going about this. Like, if you tell me smoking's bad for me because science has proven that smoking is bad for me,
right?
Now, if I believe that, I probably need to quit smoking. But if I reject it, I don't have to quit smoking because your science is just putting limits on me. Same with religion. You tell me this is wrong, this is right. It tries to give structure to my life in a way that I am no longer my own God.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all individually focused at that point. And so that makes sense why they would reject religion or reject science or logic.
Okay.
Which they wouldn't say they reject science and logic, but
right,
they do.
Right, 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 right. Yeah.
Okay.
The biblical assumption of this, I actually think it's closer to the postmodern view. Things are getting worse and worse. It's prior to the flood, things got so bad that God finally destroyed the world. Promised he wouldn't destroy the world with water anymore, but I don't know. I look around and I see a lot of violence. I see a lot of things going on. It is true that there are more and more Christians than there ever have been before, but it seems like the world is polarized. The Christians that there are have less of an influence to change the society that they live in.
Okay. It's always kind of been that way. Well, it's for the majority of the history of Christianity, I feel like it's been that
way. At least contemporary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a time when the church was it.
Right.
A pope sneezed and everybody got the cold.
That wasn't a good time either, though, for other reasons.
No, no, no.
It was like too controlled.
No, not at all. They were, yeah. And there again, it was all about an individual.
Right.
But it does seem to me that Scripture says that things will get worse and worse. In terms of morality, I think we're seeing that. I think we're living that.
I don't know. Like you said, it's an interpretation thing, and I know how many different interpretations there are. Because, I mean, really what we're talking about now is eschatology.
Yeah.
And it plays into it. When you get into that, there's just so many belief systems, and they all make good a lot of them make good arguments.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Like, I'm willing to say, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm not willing to, like, once again, I'm not willing to set up camp and die on that hill because I don't know. I know what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And really, that's what I think matters.
So is that a postmodern understanding of eschatology? What you say is right?
No.
I'm not sure.
No, it's not. There is a finite truth.
Okay.
There is a finite truth.
Okay.
They can't all be right. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know. And part of that is just—
And that's a good point to make, though. The fact that we say we don't know does not mean that we believe that there is no finite truth, no objective truth.
So what I'm saying here is like, and I think where you're going is like, our job remains the same regardless.
Yeah.
We still have, Jesus said, his great commission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says that right after he says, because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go do this, okay? He's the king. This is his law. Go do what I'm telling you to do. Go live for me. It really doesn't matter to me beyond that how this whole thing plays out. I know what things to look out for because of the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't. It's so difficult to read for me. And I think for
I think that's fair.
Clearly for a lot of people because everybody has a different opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a friend of mine said, he's Jewish. He said, get 8 Jews in a room and you'll have 10 different opinions at least.
I like that.
Final point that I want to look at here are assumptions. Assumptions about good and evil.
Okay.
So the modern worldview would say that good and evil exist. And they are somewhat objective, maybe not completely objective, but we really don't know where these concepts came from. We just share them.
This is modern?
This is modern.
Okay.
So they exist. Pre-modern would say whatever the king says, whatever the church says, that's good. So if the church says in Salem, Massachusetts, yeah, kill all the witches and here's how you do it. And if somebody is accused, she's either killed and proved innocent of being a witch or found to be a witch and then killed.
Right.
But it's all determined by what the church says. Postmodern, I believe, would say good and evil are individual constructs. I have a sense of what's good. You have a sense of what's good. They might line up with each other and they might not. And that's okay. What's good for me might be evil for you. What's evil for me might be good for you. Is that fair?
Kinda, because I think they would. I think, okay, here's the thing. I'm chalking up the postmodern worldview and New Ageism as the same thing, 100%, the same thing. The problem, though.
I definitely think they overlap.
Right. So, yes, I think people of a postmodern view would say that there is a good and there is an evil, but what that is to each of us is subjective. But then at the heart of New Ageism, there is no good and there is no evil. Everything is just subjective.
Yeah.
And so it's like they believe in it and they don't. And I have no – dude, I know it might seem like I'm picking on the New Age here, but like – or on postmodern thought. But like it just doesn't it's not logical. Like there are no like – there's no way of following it.
Right.
Like there's no way of like methodically going like, oh, okay, so then this. And they're like, oh, no, not that. And they'll just say the opposite thing of what they just said. And you're like, I can't follow this. Like it doesn't make sense logically. Like, I'm not trying to pick on it. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. What would the biblical approach to good and evil be?
That all things good come from God, and that all things evil come from the absence of God. That when we reject God, when we turn away from God, when we do things for ourselves and not for others or for the love of, which when we do things for others, we're really doing them for God too. Mm-hmm. When we do things separate from His will, separate from Him, that is evil. That is what evil is. It's the absence of God.
Have you ever seen the, of course you have, the yin yang?
Yeah.
Little figure. It's two.
Yeah, that doesn't work here.
Black and white.
Yep. With a dot of black and
the
white.
Part of the yin yang is that there is a point of white in the black.
Yep.
And a point of black in the white. And philosophically, what that's saying is there is a little bit of evil in everything that's good.
And a little bit of
good. And there's a little
good
of good in everything that's evil. And what Scripture says is God is light. In Him is no darkness at all.
Right.
God is white. There's no black dot in the right. middle of God.
Right. And He's so good that, like, as the Father, like, in His, like, in all His glory, we couldn't approach Him. Like,
right.
we as sinners,
right.
if we were to, it's like the sun. This is how I've always heard it explained. It's like the sun. If you get within such a proximity of the sun, you're going to burn up.
You're going to become one with the
right.
sun. You're
gonna... The only thing that could ever survive in the presence of the sun is more of that same type of energy.
Yeah.
Right? That something like the sun could be near the sun and be fine. But we couldn't. We would burn up. And
right.
so we have to be perfect to be in the presence of God.
Which we can't be.
We can't be.
So God does something about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. Sending Jesus, who is God in the flesh, to come and live as a man, to come and live that perfect life that no man ever did live, and then die as a perfect sacrifice on behalf of all mankind to cover them in His blood by His – I mean, when we say cover in His blood, we don't mean literally. We mean
right,
symbolic. It's saying
right.
He's paid the price
right.
because the price for sin is death.
Right.
And
right.
He's paid it.
Blood.
God Himself has paid the price.
Right. Right.
And so now we are made righteous by Christ's righteousness. And now we are able to stand in the presence of God.
So what do you think, Zach? Are we in the middle of a worldview shift?
Yeah. But the other thing is you kind of just have made it incredibly plain to see that we're always shifting.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem like this is like a, oh, yeah, we're in this weird like thing that's happening now. It seems like, no, this has happened a lot.
Yeah, we're constantly in a state of shifting. And so I think the thing that we need to take into consideration is we need to find that objective reality. We need to find that objective truth. We need to find God, His word, understand it well, embody it, live it.
Right.
Because if we don't, we can be swept away by...
And that's the other thing is you need to know other people's worldview.
Yeah.
You need to understand where somebody from a postmodern worldview is coming from. Because let's be honest, we're not really dealing with premodern worldviews right now. Well,
there are a few of them out there.
Maybe
yeah.
a little bit. Like maybe some of the
postmodern might be a shift back to premodern. The thing about postmodern is it's so subjective that if an individual comes to you and says, "I worship Nordic gods," well, that is a premodern worldview, but it fits in his postmodern expression
right.
because it's
right.
what he wants to do.
But then again, I'm thinking of like maybe the Catholic Church or like where they have the Pope. You know, like that seems like very premodern to me.
Yeah, depending on your approach. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like it seems like all three of these still might be present, and I mean, of course, the biblical.
They probably are.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good to familiarize yourself with these schools of thought and say like, okay, that's how this person sees the world. I've just started asking people questions. I let people – like I don't assume anyone believes anything anymore. When I start talking to a Christian, I start asking them questions like, oh, well, what do you think about so-and-so? Because like just because I say I'm a Christian doesn't mean I agree with Christianity. You know, like, or like just because I may tell you, oh, I'm spiritual, that doesn't mean you're a new ager. Maybe maybe they are a Christian. Maybe they just said a weird word. You know what I mean? Like,
So do you have like a set of stock questions that you use to kind of help you get it where somebody is living?
Yeah. I generally I'll kind of plug myself in and be like, oh, I'm a Christian. Like, well, what do you think about, what do you, or I may not even go there immediately. I'll generally say like, well, what do you believe about God? Do you believe in a God? And I mean, so that's a good one for these because some of these don't really like the modern worldview. You know, that doesn't have to be a God. And so like, I'll say, do you believe in God? And, oh, yeah or no. And then if they say, yeah, I'll go, oh, well, what God do you believe in? Like, are you a part of a religion? Do you, and then, you know, maybe it'll be, yeah, I'm Hindu or I'm Christian or I'm Muslim or maybe it's, oh, I'm spiritual. And if, oh, it's, I'm spiritual, that's a good keyword to go, oh, hey, maybe this person's got a postmodern worldview. And I'm like, oh, well, what do you think God's like? Like, what do you, and so then if they if they start getting into like, you know, I believe God's in all of us, and you're probably talking to somebody in the New Age, like or Hindu, which is really still New Age. Yeah. But then, like, I mean, if they're like, well, I believe that Jesus is God, well, that's a Christian. Okay. I mean, it's just you got it. I don't believe there's a one size fits all group of questions. What it boils down to is form a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
Get to know them. Get to know what they believe. Ask them genuine questions. We're not walking up and feeding people a tract or whatever that they just have to follow through and now you're saved. Like it's you're meeting people. You're learning where people are coming from. That's how we evangelize.
You know, one of the things that I've begun to do that I think it actually works pretty well. It's not really a question. I'll just say to somebody, tell me your story. And even though that is so wide open, I have yet to have somebody say, my story. Well, I wonder what my story is. Everybody goes right into something. Well, I was, you know, and they'll tell me about what's important to them.
Yeah.
And that gets at that question even better than saying, what's really important to you?
That's true. That's true.
Just tell me your story.
I think that one intimidates me.
Tell me your story?
Yeah, I don't know why. That was just, I don't know. I don't know why.
As I've talked to people, they always have an answer.
Really?
And it's immediate. It's no hesitation. Well,
I'll try that out.
Yeah.
I'll try that out.
See what happens. Get somebody strapped to a chair, tied to the chair, and you're cutting his hair.
Yeah, because we tie all of our clients to our chairs. Not going anywhere. Shaving your head. I'll try that out. And so the biblical worldview and all this, that's the truth. That's what we're talking about here.
That's what we are pursuing.
There is a foundational truth to all things. Right. Well, it's just like I've kind of said a million times over. Like, there's a lot of different opinions about things in the Bible, but like talking about eschatology, talking about how things are going to end, talking about, you know, there are certain aspects even of like the law and stuff that are a little fuzzy just based on the way the New Testament plays out. But I'm here to say, like, there are biblical truths that are, you can't argue with them. Like, they are spelled out so plainly that it's like, you're not allowed to have a different opinion on this.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like,
if
you've read the Bible, you know what this truth is. And those are the truths that we're saying are foundational.
Yes.
Because the thing is, all that other stuff, it's so gray to, like, life in a lot of ways. Like, arguing about eschatology is not saving anybody.
No.
It's not.
No.
But saying, hey, you need to love people.
And it doesn't really lead anywhere in particular.
Right. And so, I think we just need to focus on our job, and that's loving people and teaching them who Jesus is, that he's God and that he loves them and that they can be saved if they just give their lives to him.
That sounds great.
Right on. This was a lot, man.
Yeah. And I tell you what, let us know. Did you enjoy this? Do you want us to come back, talk about values and presuppositions, we can do that. But this is pretty heady stuff.
It's pretty heavy. It's super important for understanding the world and just the way people think about the world.
And understand that we are in the process of a change.
And understanding that, like, just because this is 2021 doesn't mean everybody – well, clearly not everybody thinks the same in 2021.
Right.
But, like, not even everybody probably in the Christian church thinks the same.
True.
You know, like, there's probably people in the church that are more modern and people that are more postmodern.
Yeah.
Right now or even pre-modern, you know. Or it's always shifting. And so you gotta kind of gauge where people's heads are at. So, yeah, play around with this stuff. Listen to it. Sorry if we rambled. We tried. So thank you guys for listening. Like Randy said, if you've got questions, send them to questions@becomehope.com.
Or saltysaints@becomehope.com.
Nailed it. And stay salty.
Hey there, it's Nicole Yunus from the How to Study the Bible podcast, and I'd love to invite you to join us as we weekly discover a passage of God's Word together. From beginning to end, from principles to practicals, we are here to make sure that God's Word is powerful and relevant to your life. If that sounds like something you're looking for, I would love to invite you to subscribe. You can go to lifeaudio.com and search How to Study the Bible, and we'll see you there.